So I'm looking at the scripture that we're going to be talking about today, and I was doing some reading, and a story popped up that I wanted to share with you for a moment, because I think it's so interesting about how we and others think about Christianity or faith. One of the authors I was reading is, can you imagine somebody coming into your congregation, your worship, for the very first time? They've never been to a Christian church at all. Maybe they live across the streets in the apartments, and they thought, you know, I wonder what goes on over there on Sunday mornings. And the first thing that they read is, the first thing that they hear in this time as they're doing the teaching is that this guy named Jesus says to these men, hey, give up everything and follow me. And they do. It feels like a cult if you're not careful about what we're thinking about doing together, because it's an amazing story about these four men that just give up everything all at once and choose to do that. And would any of us do anything like that in the 21st century? And if we would do something like that, the mental health professionals might be called immediately. It is an interesting idea of trying to talk about things that happened or didn't happen, but ways we teach about it thousands of years ago, and try to put it into some sort of an energy that helps us understand our own faith. Friends, I am not going at the end of this time ask you to give up everything and follow Jesus. So if this is your first time here, that's not what this is about. I want us to pause. I really want us to pause. I think that there's so much going on in the world. The noise is incredible. If you have looked at any pieces of information in the last few days or listened to any words, it feels a little overwhelming. So I'm just going to suggest that we pause. Choose one thing in your mind. Choose one thing in your mind that you're nervous about or frightened about, or you're just not sure about. Choose one thing. John was arrested. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And this is what Jesus said. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Repent and believe in the good news. There's not much we can do about what's wrong in the world. And there's an incredible amount of things that we can do about what's wrong in the world. It's trying to clear our relationships. So as we think about following Jesus, as we think about what are we most nervous about, and we think about believing in the good news, I want us to think first about the word repent. For me, the word repent simply means I am clearing myself of everything that stops me from being in good relationship with God and my neighbor. Now, I don't want to be one of those churches where people come to church and they start talking to each other right during it. It makes some Presbyterians really nervous. But if you would just look around in the sanctuary for a moment, I want you to think about the word repent and what would stop any of us to be in relationship with anybody in this space. So look around. Even look up at the balcony. Gary Moran, wave. Hey, Gary, wave to those folks so they know how to, you know, Gary's up there with the kids. Look around. Here's the first thing about repentance. If you open up your whole being and you look around, every person that is here and present to each other is made in the image of God. Every person. And then you move out after worship and you go into the streets. Every person you see is made in the image of God. And then after you do that, you look on TV and you look at our president and you look at our senators. Every person that you see is made in the image of God. If we can't repent, if we can't open ourselves up to being able to see what is possible, we will continue to stay in the same crises and the same difficulties that we currently have. The Nigerian proverb has helped me as I think about particularly what's happening in Washington, D.C. over this weekend, and as I think about our own situations here in the world. In the moment of crisis, the Nigerian proverb says, the wise build bridges and the foolish build dams. We are bridge builders, or at least that's what Jesus calls us to be, as bridge builders. And this is what Jesus says, believe in the good news. I was talking with the Tooth Marks folks this morning. That's the folks who study the scripture that we're going to be preaching on today. And I said the word in, that preposition in, is really sort of the focus point for me, in. Believe in the good news. If I believe that the world is round, I believe news. I believe that news. If I believe in the good news, I'm called to action. I'm called to do something. I'm called to dance. I'm called to celebrate. I'm called to march. I'm called to write. I'm called to feed. I'm called to listen. Believing in the good news. And I think that there is not a sense of belief in the church and in the world that there is good news. I started with the good news. Everyone in this space is made in the image of God, whether you believe it or not. That's good news. I want us to think about the crises that you have in your life, the crises that we see in communities and relationship, and I want us to stop building dams or walls. And I want us to build bridges that will relate one to the other so that we can walk together and get to places where we can solve the issues of the day. Friends, believing in the good news is not difficult. It's responding to the good news. Well, I can believe in Jesus. I like that Jesus guy. He's a pretty good guy, right? Hey, what he taught, people are loving. We want to heal each other. I believe that stuff. It's not the belief part, but it's believing in that you want to respond. There's a Methodist pastor that said, to repent, to begin new life, to be led by the Spirit, takes not just faith, but also courage. So Jesus is hanging out with these fishermen, and he says, come, follow me. They give up everything, and they follow him, and then we follow the story. But the first thing that we're told is that believing in the good news is what is essential. Essential. So what I want us to think about today, believing in the good news, and what is essential for you to believe in the good news? You can believe in science. You can believe in medical care. You can believe in the environment. You can believe all people are evil. You can believe in all people are good. I mean, you can have a lot of beliefs, but what's essential for you as a human being gathered here at Westminster on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. to believe in the good news? Do you need a miracle? Do you need somebody to show you kindness? Do you need to deepen your faith and study? Do you need to get out in the streets and march? Do you need to go to the Northeast Emergency Food Program and help feed people? Do you need to walk aside a homeless person and have a conversation? What do you need to believe in the good news? Because Jesus doesn't give us the answer in that moment. Jesus says, believe in the good news and then follow me. That's all it takes. I think that's incredibly courageous. Incredible. And if Beth and I are struggling in our marriage in any way, and all I do is believe that Beth is wrong, I'm not believing in our marriage, am I? I'm not believing in our marriage because I have a lot of ownership of whatever is wrong in the marriage. I believe in the marriage. If I believe in the marriage, it not only takes some faith in it, but there's some courage about being in this relationship. It's very important to decide what you're choosing to believe in, but what is essential? One of the members of the Tooth Marks folks said to me today, maybe it's a question of simplicity. God is love, Jesus' teachings, that is what will bring us to those bridges so that people will want to get up and follow, that they will actually want to be in relationship. What is essential? Mark, he doesn't waste any time. You know, there's no Christmas story. There's no big deal. Jesus shows up. John the Baptist does a little bit of putting some baptism on him. Jesus goes out into the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan. And then he says, believe in the good news. Follow me. There's not a lot of rigmarole with Mark. The essential part is knowing that the kingdom of God is near. Or as Mark would say, it's here. Right here, right now. The kingdom of God appears in language that's translated 66 times in the New Testament. It does not appear in the Old Testament. Kingdom of Yahweh or Yahweh, kingdom twice. It's kingdom of God. It's new, it's present, it's essential, it's hopeful, it's faithful. And friends, it's courageous. It's crazy courageous. Think about the story of the first time when you hear that people get up and follow Jesus and they give up everything. Nowhere in the Christian church do we ask each other to give up everything. We just ask you to give up or repent from what those things that keep you from relationship with each other and with God. There's so many different parts of the world that struggle with. I just want to share with you a Martin Luther King Jr. quote that helps me think about where we're at today, particularly in the United States. He wrote this in the 1960s. Tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being late. There is no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action. Believe in the good news. Be active in the world. Hold babies. Tell jokes. Follow Jesus. Struggle with what's right or wrong. Know that you don't have all the answers. Believe in yourselves. Believe in this community. Believe in the good news. Don't get caught up in dogma. Don't get caught up that Beth and I believe that the Apostles' Creed is used for baptism because it connects our history. I know there are tons of you that hate the Apostles' Creed. I don't get it. I don't care. That doesn't stop us from being in community with in relationship. It's a 2,000-year-old document that connects us to the early church to today's church. If it doesn't connect for you, that's okay. Right? Did I hit that place where people are still struggling with? Right? Believing the good news. Believing in the good news. It's important that we live out our faith. So pause. Go back to what you're thinking about, what was making you nervous or scared or you have questions about. If you can believe in the good news that God is present in the world and that you are an agent for God, is there one thing today that you can do about what you're nervous about or what you have a question about? And I know that some of us still struggle with this whole idea of prayer. But you know, just praying about, or if you want to use the word meditate on, or if you want to use the word understanding, prayer, meditating, understanding, that's always a good first response. But there are things that we can do about poverty, about hopelessness, about what it is that we struggle with. You know, people are making art in response to the world today. It's a beautiful thing. Musicians are writing. People are marching. Friends, what's happening in Washington, D.C.? I'm not sure there's a lot we can do, but maybe there's something we can do. If I get up here every Sunday, or Beth or Lori gets up here every Sunday and tells you exactly how to live out your life, and here are the scripts. Step one, write a letter to blah, blah, blah. You're missing the point. It's about what is essential. What is essential for you to believe in the good news? What is essential? Claim it. Acknowledge it. And then repent from those things that stop you from being the best you can be. Repentance has gotten a bad word because it's sort of like, oh, don't lay that guilt trip on me. Essential, essential, essential simply means that allows you to be your best. Repentance removes all the walls, all the problems, all the issues that stops you from being your essentially best being. Repent. And then remember what our Methodist friend said, it takes a lot of courage to have faith. Choose this day who you will serve. Know that God is present and loves you. Jesus is always calling, always calling. But what is essential for you to believe in the good news and then act? To God be the glory. May you know love this week. Amen.